did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
We are back again on Sundays, the best half hour in broadcasting that you're ever probably going to hear, and it's always better when it is a half hour broadcast after a Dallas Cowboy W. And we are here today, Dustin and I, to talk a little bit about the future of this organization. And first of all, we should have tweeted out the link for the show tonight, so you can go on for all of our Twitter followers who we love right now. What is it, like 13,000 followers already? We just made it a thing last week. So a lot of Cowboys fans out there who were listening to us. We had a couple of tweets in today, which were great. Got to appreciate that. Got to love that. And again, if you want to call us up during this half hour, we're going live till the Giants game starts. It is 713-955-0359. Feel free to give us a shout. If I do have to call back in, it is because of a connection issue, and I do apologize for any future quality issues because I will be on a cell phone. But for right now, we're going to roll with this. Today, Dustin, honestly, watching this game, I was a bit nervous when the first kickoff, because you said to me during the week, Dallas going to win the toss, take the ball, and Cincinnati was going to defer. And we both thought, okay, well, Dallas – score, they've got AJ Green on the other side, they've got Gio Bernard, they've got Jeremy Hill, and of course the Red Rocket Andy Dalton, who is a stat machine in the regular season. Can't win in the playoffs, but a stat machine in the regular season. And we thought maybe with our Swiss cheese defense would not be necessarily the best opportunity for us starting off. But what do? We come down the field, bang bang to Zeke, get the touchdown, go up 7-0, give us a little cushion, take a little breather, that's all good. But then it was 14, and then 21, and then 28, and they just piled it on. And, you know, I've been a Dak supporter since the preseason. I know you don't put a lot of stock in the preseason. I do watch every preseason game. I knew what this kid could do. I knew his capabilities. I watched him in college, as I said last week. I watched him in Mississippi State, beat Alabama, LSU, and Auburn all in the same season, first quarterback in that school history to ever do that. And I knew he was the real deal. But I didn't know as a rookie he would produce the way that he's producing, putting up just ridiculous numbers. Well, not even the numbers, not even the stats. He's just winning football games, which is something we haven't had from anybody but Romo in quite a long time. And, Dustin, I know you weren't huge to start the season on Ezekiel Elliott. I think we both thought that – that Zeke was sort of a pick that was necessary. I think we both thought Ramsey was the pick that we needed. And, you know, Ramsey's been average in Jacksonville so far. And Zeke now, as you can tell, as you may know well as any Cowboy fan listening, leads the league in rushing. And not only does he lead the league in rushing, he has been darn near unstoppable now for three games in a row.
Well, here's my deal.
Has your opinion on Zeke changed?
Yeah, it has. But to address the, you know, Ramsey versus Zeke pick. Now, after week one, I said, Chris, you were right. We should have gone with Jalen Ramsey because I saw a defense that could not stop a retard like Eli Manning, and that upset me because when you can't stop guys like Eli Manning and Kirk Cousins and Andy Dalton, that worries me. These guys are very average. We have yet to play a very good quarterback, and very good with me starts with like guys like Drew Brees, all right, Ben Roethlisberger,
okay,
Tom Brady,
who's on the schedule,
Manning.
Okay,
right. So we're gonna have to deal with Roethlisberger, okay, and that's gonna be. This was a very big who are you game, okay. This is a very big who are you Dallas Cowboys, because you got the Bengals over there talking trash all week. Well, who the hell is Dak? Who's Dak Prescott? That's what the defensive player said in an interview. And then what was Dak's response? You know, they're a very good defense, but they're pretty simple. And they took that as an insult. Like, oh, we're going to kill this kid. He called us basic. He called us simple. You know, that wasn't an insult.
Well, they showed it today.
Just saying. Right, but Dak wasn't even trying to insult them like they tried to insult Dak. He just said, they're a good defense, but they're a simple scheme, meaning I know how to beat this defense. They're not, you know, disguising stuff, moving around. You know, apparently the best team in the league is over in Minnesota, and they're a lot of
smoke
and mirrors.
Yeah.
there are a lot of smoke and mirrors. They're moving constantly. They're disguising. They show one thing and come with another. That's not Cincy. Cincy knows.
Yeah,
they let you
know.
They're sending
two guys through one gap. I mean,
yeah,
they're hitting the holes hard. You mentioned quarterback real quick.
Hold on for a sec. Okay. So the point that I want to make is at the beginning of the season, I said I love the Zeke pick. My reason why is I want impact players, okay? And an impact player to me is someone who is going to directly affect the score of the game, meaning this one player can account for touchdowns. Can your wide receivers account for touchdowns? Yes. Can your quarterbacks? Yes. Can your running backs? Yes. Tight ends? Yes. O-linemen? No. Defensive line?
True.
No. Corners? Yes. Safeties? They can take it away. You know, they can make some stops. Do they usually score touchdowns with the exception of the greats like Sanders and, you know, Ed Reed? Not really. And those are once in a lifetime players. Do I think Jalen Ramsey's one of those? We'll see, but you know, no. So my thing was we lost a piece in DeMarco Murray. We had a season that was 12-4 when we ran the ball consistently and we had an intelligent running back. We lose that, and our entire season goes up in flames the following year. We had the opportunity to take a guy that could fill that void and be an impact player. We had an opportunity. Holy background noise. Jesus Christ, what's going on over there, bud?
Oh, I sneezed, and I tried to hit mute at the same time, and it didn't work.
Well, you blocked out the sneeze, but I got a whole handful of TV in the background. So my point was impact player. Impact player, a guy like that, Jesus Christ, Ezekiel Elliott, a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, he can affect change in a game. He can single-handedly win you a game, just like he did. What did he get today? 2 touchdowns, 171 yards. That is a monster game for a running back. That is on his way. That is well on his way to pass DeMarco Murray's record with us, that 1,800
and something
yards.
Well, here's another question I have for you, though. You have been openly critical, and, you know, maybe for good reason, but maybe not. You have been openly critical about the claim of Dallas having the quote-unquote best offensive line in football. A running back is only as good – I mean, since Barry Sanders, who could – it doesn't matter who was blocking for him, but guys like that, different story. But he's in this league, especially guys who are speed guys, who they like to run up the middle for whatever reason. A running back like that is only as good as his offensive line is. And they were opening holes you could drive a Mack truck through today against a Cincinnati front seven that has three Pro Bowlers on it, if you want to count one of the linebackers. So, I mean, this is not a bad Cincinnati team. This is a Cincinnati team that has won that division 5 years in a row and has, you know, had a consistent playoff team, has been consistently among the league leaders in record, yards per game, I mean, defense efficiency. You know, this is a team where you got a lot of guys playing in Hawaii every year. And that offensive line pushed them around like the bigger kid on the playground today. And, you know, I'm just hoping that they're able to do that because a guy like Zeke, yeah, he's going to hit holes and whatever. But, you know, he is only going to be as good and as productive as his O-line allows him to be. I mean, I don't care who you are. If you got, like, let's say today, Cincy, they had black jerseys on. If you're trying to run the ball and you got four black jerseys around you before you even take the handoff, you're not going to be very productive. So, I mean, I think the claim needs to change a little bit. But real quick, if you do want to address this issue or any issue we talk about here, 713-955-0359. Also hit us up on Twitter at Stars Aligned Show or at Overtime.News, either one. And we'll go from there. But so what we've got is we've got a Dallas Cowboy team that, like you said, it's who was this team? And you talk about defining quarterbacks on our schedule. This team, I'm looking at our schedule right now. You want to talk about quarterbacks, and we haven't faced a really elite quarterback yet. Some people could make the claim for Andy Dalton. I don't, but some people could. We got Aaron Rodgers next week at Lambeau. Now, I'm sitting here. I got to work the game tonight. I'm going to be watching the, you know, watching and listening and doing the radio stuff and the updates and the whole shebang for this Sunday night game. We get to see Aaron Rodgers in person against that $200 million Giants defense. And we get to see now what Aaron Rodgers actually can do against, honestly, a defense that is better than ours. The Giants defense has more talent than this Dallas defense does. It's just the Giants offense.
I'm not so sure about that. Think about it. I'm not so sure about that. If Mo Claiborne lives up to the hype which we drafted him for, which he finally did today,
the week before,
the plays
he's playing amazing.
He's been making, yeah, he's been playing. He's been playing what he should have been doing this whole time. And finally, Brandon Carr isn't your number one guy. I don't have a problem with Carr being a $4 million a year third string corner behind Scandrick and Claiborne, a veteran who knows, who can see the field and make a key play here or there. But when Brandon Carr is responsible for shutting down the number one wide receiver on the opposing team, your defense sucks, okay?
Yeah.
And that's just it. Brandon Hughes Carr is not a franchise corner, okay? He is no Richard Sherman. He is no Champ Bailey even. He's just average. So he might have been something
back
in the
day
when
AJ Green today?
Before when we traded for him, but he has not lived up to that contract he had that he came in with.
Well, yeah, it seems constantly every big moment that the opposing team has against Dallas in the passing game seems to come against Brandon Carr. Now, we had
nobody respects him. Nobody respects him.
No, but we had no Orlando Scandrick today, who a lot of people are saying is our best corner. But again, we drafted Mo better. We drafted him, Claiborne, to be a Patrick Peterson, to be a Richard Sherman, to be guys like – we drafted him to be that shutdown elite corner. He came in. He showed some signs of being pretty good his first year.
But injuries,
he was a rookie. Yeah, he's been banged up. Came back this year. He's healthy, playing at least, I'd say,
playing 75%. With an attitude. He's playing with an attitude, which is so key at that position. He's playing with that annoying Josh Norman, Richard Sherman shit talk, not in my house attitude, which I hate, but if it's on my team, I'll deal with it. So you need that.
Well, he got written off by his own organization. That's why. I mean, when you get a guy who's Jerry Jones, who puts blind faith in players, and a guy like Jerry Jones is even going to put faith in players when maybe he shouldn't. Remember, he's the biggest Randy Gregory advocate I think I've ever seen. And even Jerry Jones write you off and says, you know, maybe we need to draft a corner next year. That's going to piss you off a little bit. You're the number one pick that season. Okay, he was our first round guy. We traded up to get him. And all everyone's talking about is, oh, well, Brandon Carr is the only corner you got. Well, I mean, how would that make you feel if you're a competitor? You know, knowing that you're better than Brandon Carr. And for people to say, oh, well, this secondary is about only as good as Brandon Carr is going to be. Well, there you go. I mean, he's playing. He had a tip ball in the end zone today where I thought it should have been a flag, actually, on the hit out of bounds. But he jumped up like LeBron James winning a tip-off in the NBA and knocked that ball out of the air. And I think this team, like you said, it wasn't such. It was a but this is not – I mean, honestly, we, as you all know, we are – a Terrence Williams boneheaded play away from being 5-0 right now and being the only other undefeated team in football. But let's not split hairs. It doesn't always happen. It's very tough to go undefeated in this league. We've got Aaron Rodgers next week at Lambeau, the redemption game, our first trip to Lambeau since the Dez catch that wasn't a catch. Then we got a bye week. Then we're getting Tony Romo back, and we'll get into that in a second. We'll end the show with the Tony Romo discussion. But
allegedly.
Then we got – allegedly, yes. But we got here's we're at Green Bay, then a bye week. Then we're playing Carson Wentz in Philly, then at Cleveland. Then we got Big Ben in Pittsburgh. Then home against Joe Flacco and the Ravens. Home on Thanksgiving against the Redskins, who we've already beaten. Then right after that, on the 1st of December, going to U.S. Bank Stadium and facing Sam Bradford and that great Vikings team. Then at New York Giants, home against the Bucks and Jameis Winston. Home against the Lions. And then ending the season in Philly. So
I'm excited. I mean, I didn't realize we had a chance to go into Minnesota and prove that they're garbage. And
we do,
that
yeah,
they're
at
not.
Minnesota.
They're, Minnesota
and
is the definition of a pretender team. Everybody's shitting their pants
so?
Right now. Minnesota, oh my God, the Vikings. Really, Sam Bradford, this is who you fear? Really, running back?
No, I fear the defense.
This is who
they
you
fear
running back?
That's who it is.
Yeah, well, that defense should fear our offense right now because we're moving. We're moving. So I can't wait for that one. But
they haven't,
the thing that's
they
interesting,
haven't
Chris, is
allowed
that we're
than...
playing three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in like a 5-week span, I think
yes.
you said. And two of them are at
well,
their
week.
House.
Yeah, next week at Lambeau. And then so that's – so we got Green Bay, then bye week, Philly, Cleveland. Okay, those are write-offs. Then, yeah,
in
then
Pittsburgh.
Big Ben. Yeah, in Pittsburgh and then home against Joe Flacco and the Ravens. Yeah. So
Flacco, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
so,
going to be – listen, those are some good quarterbacks. People are giving it to Flacco right now, but that team's not very good. But Joe Flacco is the real deal. He is as much as people hate it, he is a very good quarterback. He is not an average quarterback. He is not a garbage quarterback. He is
a
very good quarterback.
Not at all. And you know – This team, speaking of quarterbacks, because with 13 minutes left to go here, the show's only a half hour. I thought it was going to be an hour because I tend to get long-winded, and I'm so used to talking on a microphone. It's what I do all week long is that I tend to, you know, and my show, my FM show.
Like right now.
My FM show is me by myself, so I don't have a co-host.
Yeah.
So my FM show, I have to fill 3 hours or so and talk by myself. So, you know, I'm used to this, but Tony Romo allegedly is coming back to the bye week against Philly. Now, there's two storylines here. Coming off the bye, Dallas is notoriously good coming off bye weeks. I don't know exactly what the record is, but they're pretty good coming off bye weeks statistically over the last 10 years. Sunday night football, national television, in front of an audience for everybody to see. Tony Romo is going to come back against arch rival division leader until today, Philadelphia. Okay. That's a storyline. Redemption for Romo. Romo's back. How's he going to play? Blah, 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 blah. Honestly, though, I think I would like to see the rookie Dak Prescott against the rookie Carson Wentz in the two rookie quarterback matchups that, you know, both have been tearing it up. That, to me, is the better storyline. But as of right now, based on everything I'm reading from my sources, it's Thundercats a go. If Jerry Jones came out today, not today, he came out last week, and he said, if 9 is ready, 9 will go. And, you know, hey, I'd love to have the guy back, but do you think it maybe affects chemistry a little bit? I mean, Dak has this team, looking better than this team has looked. I think we look better right now than we looked at this point in the 12-4 season, honestly.
No, that's not true, but I think because when we were in that 12-4 season, there were a couple of games that we should have won that we could have had a better record, and we had consistency, and Romo was making people miss left and right. Romo looked like the MVP that year, so that's a bunch of BS. But we are playing good. We're playing very good, and we're playing with a guy who's new to the system. A lot has to be said for a veteran that knows everything that the coach knows, that where he can look at the coach, they can be thinking the exact same thing. It's a relationship that very few have. Belichick, Brady, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And I think Romo and Garrett have it. And I think that's why I think Garrett and Romo are part of like a package deal where it's just one of those things where Garrett's going to be rallying for Tony no matter what. So I just think that – I don't know. I don't want anything to mess up the chemistry that we have right now. You know, I don't want – if we're rolling with Dak, I want Tony to be the leader that he claims to be. And I want Tony to say, you know what, the team's rolling right now. I'm going to take a few more weeks to fully heal and – you know, I want to do what's best for the football team. I want to hear him say that. And then if he says that, there shouldn't be a single person in the entire United States that has a problem with Tony Romo, because that would be the ultimate form of team player sacrifice that you could ever have for an organization. That shows you he's a team guy, team first guy. I know he is that way. I've heard him 1,000 times, and you see his actions. He's not Tom Brady. He's not a little weasel to the microphone and then goes and does stuff behind the scenes. No, Tony is a good, genuine guy who flat out is he wears everything on his sleeve and he wants to do what's best for the football team. He didn't leave in free agency to go somewhere else. He wanted to stay in Dallas and win one in Dallas and stay. He wants to be a one organization guy. That's why I think even if Dallas was going to trade him, I think it would be like a trade and then like release and retirement type deal. Like they would have like an understanding. Like I don't want to play anywhere else. I don't want to play anywhere else but Dallas. Yeah. So, and those started with Colin Cowherd, by the way. So it wasn't, there's no validity to them. It was a hot take by Colin where he was just naming off a bunch of random stuff to look forward to over the next year. He even said to keep a lookout for, God, who was it? I think it was Gruden taking over for like LSU or something. He was just coming up with all kinds of stuff, left field things to look out for the upcoming year. And one of his things was, don't be surprised when Tony Romo is playing for the Jets next year, who is in win now, and you know, blah blah blah. And then my response to that was, okay, you know, usually when you're in win now, you're not going to bring a guy in who's injury prone. You know, you're going to bring a guy in who you think is going to withstand the grueling, you know, schedule of one and done. Let's get it. You know, you don't bring in, if you're in win now, you don't bring an injury prone guy. And I don't think Tony is that one guy who can take over for you and win you every game, because he can win you a few, as we know. He can get you 8 wins, but 8 wins isn't going to get you the Super Bowl. So I just don't know. Trade rumors are tough, and you got to take them with a grain of salt, but whatever.
Here's a little fact, a little tidbit out there that Cowboy fans probably know because they're pretty well-informed fan base, but they may not. So we're going to drop it here just in case you don't know. Ezekiel Elliott has already done something that Hall of Famers Tony Dorsett and Emmitt Smith never did. It's the first Cowboy to have 3 consecutive 130-plus yard rushing games. So,
I think
as you
think. Marco Murray got a raw deal on that one because his rookie year he wasn't allowed to do it, right? But DeMarco went off later in his career. But I think that if DeMarco was a rookie, he would have done that too. You know what I mean? DeMarco had to sit behind a bunch of scrubs before he got his opportunity.
Julius Jones and who was that other guy that they had? That guy that keeps getting arrested. Not the Shard Choice, but the other guy that they had there, Joseph Randall.
Julius Jones, way back in the day. You're thinking of Felix the Cat.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Felix. That's who it is. I knew it was Jones, though. But, you know, I just, this team, to me, I'm on cloud 9 right now. But, you know, when Romo went down, I thought, oh, geez, here we go. I'm going to have to do another thing. I live in upstate New York. I got all these Giants fans going to be talking. I go, here we go again. And I think Dak has given us a little bit of hope. And for those of you out there who are tweeting.
Thing. We put the Twitter, the question up on Twitter, the @StarTheLineShow.
They've been responding.
And people have been responding overwhelmingly in favor of keeping Dak in. Now, I know that there's a lot of inner hate for Romo, which makes no sense because the guy is
none.
Class act. He's done nothing but sacrifice his everything for this organization. So for the people that are Cowboys fans that don't like Romo, I think you're a bunch of losers. But I'm in favor of keeping Dak in to ride momentum. The last thing I want to do is pull Dak out, have Romo come in. Let's say it doesn't work out. Let's say Romo gets hurt again. He's rusty, whatever. And then you put Dak in and the magic's not there anymore. That's what I fear. What I fear is the snowball's rolling downhill. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're going to go and you're going to kick it to the side and crush it. And it's not going to roll anymore. I don't want that. Let's just let this baby roll and see how far it goes. You know, what will it hurt anybody if you leave Dak in and he just plays like this for the rest of the season and we win the Super Bowl? It won't hurt anybody. It'll hurt Tony's ego a little bit, but that's about it. You know, the whole team will be loving it, blah, blah, blah. But what can happen if you pull Dak out? Everything. Romo comes in. He loses us a game. He gets severely hurt. His career's over. You know what I mean? There's nothing but negative things that can come out of Romo going back in. Whereas if Dak stays in, Romo's there in case something happens to Dak, but Dak's the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
There is no negative to pulling putting Romo in. I mean, there's no positive to putting Romo in and all negative to taking Dak
True.
Out. Now, let me ask you this. Dez Bryant comes back healthy and ready to go. Do you put him in? Because he's messing up everything, right?
Well,
now,
well next week.
Is he messing up locker room chemistry or is he messing up on-field chemistry? Because when he was out there, even when he was barking and being a diva when we played Washington, we still got the job done. So if Dak's mentality truly is, I'm going to find the open guy, and if it's not Dez, I'm moving on in my progression, then screw it. Leave him out there because he could be a decoy. He could give defenses trouble. You just got to plan for him. And then whatever, if you keep him off the field, that deep threat, that big play is not there. So that's where the whole thing came up last week where I said I would trade Dez Bryant. I would take him right now and trade him for an impact defensive player. And again, impact player, meaning somebody who can change the score of the game. I want a safety or I want a big boy down low. And the two guys that jump out at me that are overpaid and probably going to be done in their prospective careers with the teams they're on now is Cam Chancellor and J.J. Watt. And I think Dez Bryant is bigger than both those guys. So I don't see how we would have a problem getting that trade. I think that the teams that we would be giving our Dez to might be stupid and greedy and be like, whoa, we need a draft pick also. In which case, that's BS, and I wouldn't do the trade. I think in their minds, in Seattle's mind, they would feel like they're getting the best of that deal because Cam Chancellor is going to be 30, blah, blah, blah. But he's a veteran safety, big hitter who could come in and change the culture of our defensive locker.
You wouldn't want a Richard Sherman?
What?
You wouldn't want Richard Sherman?
I don't want Richard Sherman.
No?
Absolutely
so
not.
Here's my thing real quick, and I don't know if we're going to add time or not, but we got 2 minutes left to go in the show here. I don't know how many more completions Dak needs in order to break the rookie record. I know you are not a big useless stat guy. I'm a big anonymous stat guy. Carson Wentz threw a pick today, so his streak is over. But Dak had 131, I believe, or 2 attempts without a pick. Brady had 160 attempts without a pick in his rookie year. And Dak could pass that. I don't think he did today. I don't think he had the 30-plus attempts today because Zeke took over. But that was the anonymous stat. So just putting that one out there. Another thing here, and for the live broadcast, for those of you listening live, only about a minute left, so it may cut off on you. But you can go back and listen as soon as it cuts off on you after the show is uploaded. We are going to go a little bit longer today. Stars Align, brought to you by Logo
Twitter.
Warehouse, Caged Combat, a bunch of our starters.
Yeah, go to our website, overtime.news, go to the Stars Align page. We got all the links up so you can listen to all the old episodes, including this one if you don't listen to it live. But that's
so,
whatever.
So any extra time that you that you don't get to hear will be uploaded and found on the website. So make sure you get your hands on that. It's good stuff. So that's good then, because I was going to try to rush this stat, but I guess I won't now. So Dak had a chance to break that record. Well, I think it's a big deal, honestly. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of, you know, crazy random stats, but I think it's a big deal if he's able to do it. I think he can do it next week against Green Bay. I think Dez will be back in next week against Green Bay because Dez is going to want redemption for the catch that wasn't a catch. Our first trip back to Lambeau since that play. I think Dez is going to want to get out there despite the knee, which honestly I don't think is really all that bad. I think part of it is, Dez has some pain management and can't run 100%, but I also think part of it is that he knows Tony feeds him and Dak hasn't been, and I think he's sort of playing off this knee injury to wait for Tony, which would be a complete bitch move if he did, but again, that's, I think, what's happening.
That's Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that's me, because he thinks, hey, Tony's going to be back, then he's going to start feeding me the ball. I'm going to try to nurse this knee injury as long as possible. Showed today we didn't need him. You know, Beasley, again, being Beasley, and one thing that impressed me about Dak was we even said when we watched the San Francisco game, he was overthrowing Beasley. I mean, here we are, Dak, 6'4", tall guy, Beasley's all of 5'8", if that, maybe 5'10", but he looks tiny out there. Dak was overthrowing him constantly. Today,
he was overthrowing everybody. Remember those rolls to the right? He was overthrowing Butler on the sideline.
True, but I'm talking about he was overthrowing him in the middle of the field on straightaways. I mean, he was just his release point was above Beasley's head, and the ball was just too high. Today, he was able to bring that ball down and release it later and able to hit Beasley. Witten had a couple of good catches, and, you know, Witten actually ran past somebody, which is shocking because, I mean, Witten, for such a big guy.
Did you see that shifty old man in the open field where he put, this little half-ass weak juke on the defender? No, I'm not talking about the stiff arm. I'm talking about, towards the end of it, after the stiff arm, he tried to do a little weak-ass juke before he got tackled down. It was so funny.
I did see it. It's funny because for a guy that's that big, he goes down awfully easily, and I've noticed that. And you know, he produced for us today. Terrence Williams came through in the clutch today. Bryce Butler came through in the clutch, and you know, the thing is about Dak is I can't get over the poise of this guy. I mean, you've got the most hands down. I know the Giants spent a lot of money on defense, but their pass rush has been lacking, hands down. The most intimidating front seven we have faced all season, and probably top three out of all the front sevens we're going to face outside of Minnesota and Pittsburgh this year. And he was cool as a cucumber back there, man. He just did not get rattled. He took a couple shots. He got popped a couple times, but he just stood in the pocket and, you know, rolled out if he needed to and showed a lot of poise for a rookie, which I really, really liked, because sometimes rookies can get rattled. Even Carson Wentz today, they were getting after Wentz, and he tried to extend plays that he didn't do. So, very excited about that.
So let me ask before we wrap, I got two questions. Do you agree with the trade of Dez?
Okay.
And do you agree with the players I mentioned? And then our score was 28-14. Was that another example of bitch boy Garrett playing not to lose the game? We could have freaking hammered this thing down their throats and gone up to 45 if we wanted to, but we got to 28-0, and we didn't score a single point after that. And we had the opportunity.
I'm
going to
go in reverse here. I'm gonna address your second question first. When 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we're up 28-0. Oh no, actually no, there was 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I mean, since he still had a shred of hope in the game, but not much, but still 11 minutes left, fourth quarter, 4-touchdown lead, you drop into the prevent defense and just give him all the cushion in the world to let him down and take up some time and score. I think it was Garrett saying, you know what, guys, let's take the foot off the gas a little bit. We've got this one in the bag. Let's just hold on and win this game. I think after since he scored, we needed, instead of running the ball, instead of throwing checkdowns, go back at him, man. Put the boot on the neck, but didn't want to do it. Wanted to play conservatively, knowing that we had a huge lead. I think Garrett again showed that when we lead, he's going to drop back and rely on this defense. And I mean, eventually it's going to bite him because this defense is middle of the road in the league. Your first question, you know. Yes and no. Dez this season and Dez the end of last season, albeit he was injured for last season, didn't necessarily look like the $75 million man that we gave him. But I've seen the way that Dez can change games with Romo. I need to see a little bit more of what this offense is like if Tony comes back. Let's say best case scenario, Tony comes back, Tony's clicking, and he's able to Dez the way he found Dez in the past, then no, I don't agree with it, because your best defense is a good offense. And if we're putting up leads like we put up today, that defense, I don't care what defense, you could have the Browns defense, you have a lead like you had today, you got a good chance. So I need to see Tony and Dez and what Dez can do with him back before I agree to that. But if it were today, if today were the deadline and you had to do it today, yes, I do agree. Go out there and get a big-time defensive player. I like Cam Chancellor. I don't know who the big guy up front would be that you were talking about, but I do like the fact that get some secondary help that we definitely need. So if the trade deadline were today, yes, but I'm going to have to expand that question a couple more weeks until we see Tony and Dez back.
All right.
And that is the Stars Align show for today. Again, the best half hour you're ever going to hear in broadcasting every Sunday directly following the Dallas Cowboy game. Hopefully it's a Dallas Cowboy victory. It'll make the show a lot better and make Dustin not so angry. I mean, he has enough to be angry about. He doesn't want to be angry about his Cowboys, so that's good. And I just want to say, for all of you out there listening,
you did one hell of a job, and only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next week, same time, same place, and hopefully at 5-1. I say la, la, la.